Well, good evening. Let me thank Adrian again for his warm words of welcome. It's been good to be with you in Samfield Baptist Church today, and hopefully sometime in the future, maybe not in a few weeks' time, it might be too soon, but hopefully in some time in the future I'll be able to see you sitting in these pews in front of me, but that's not this time. But we can still meet around the Word of God and enjoy it together from our homes or wherever you're watching. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I trust you will be blessed as we meet around God's word tonight. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, and the chapter 1. We're going to take time this evening to read the first 20 verses of the book of Isaiah, and I would like to speak to you this evening under the title, Whiter Than Snow. Whiter Than Snow. The book of Isaiah, please, in the chapter 1, and we'll read from the verse 1. And this is the word of the Lord, and it says this, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, certainly today, when many of us woke up and looked across, maybe for me it was the countryside, maybe you were looking across the street, you would have pulled the curtains back and there would have been a layer of snow lying on the street or lying across the fields. And it's such a beautiful scene, isn't it? I know that if there are boys and girls listening, many of you, I'm sure, will love the snow. And you know, when there's this heavy snowfall, we love to build a snowman and we'll lie in the snow and we'll make snow angels and we can enjoy a snow fight. And maybe there's some older people even listening in and your children at heart and you enjoy that side of the snow as well. Sometimes, of course, the snow can be difficult as we can't get out of the house. Not that we can these days, but we can't drive on the roads when there's heavy snow and the snow has fallen quite badly. But it can be beautiful, can't it? To look across a landscape when the snow has just freshly fallen. It's absolutely beautiful scenery. You would love to go out and snap a picture of it and keep it and look at it for a long time. And when there's been a snowfall, it makes everything look clean, doesn't it? The land looks almost unpolluted. It looks pure. The snow hides any issues that there may have been underneath. It's pure. And it's with this imagery that the prophet Isaiah wants us to, it's this imagery that he wants us to see as we read this chapter at the beginning of his prophecy in the Old Testament of our Bibles. You see, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ can do for a sinner. There are areas of our lives that are filled with sin. We have disobeyed God's law. We are far from him. We're sinners. The Bible makes that very clear. But the Lord Jesus, he is able to cleanse us from that sin. And he can make us purer and whiter than snow. And in this first chapter of the book of Isaiah in our Bibles, we read of this wonderful transforming power of the gospel. This wonderful news that the Bible is all about. You see, we read here in God's word tonight, a book, a prophecy that was written almost 800 years before the Lord Jesus ever walked this earth. Yet you would think that this prophet had actually walked and talked with the Lord Jesus while here on earth. You see, when you read his book, you read about the birth of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah writes about the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He writes about the people who would reject the Lord Jesus. He writes about the death of Christ. He writes about the resurrection of Christ. He writes about the kingship of Christ. And God calls Isaiah to a very long and Christ-centered ministry. You know, the prophet preaches God's word over the reign of four kings of Judah. We read that in verse 1. He tells us that his ministry was over the reigns of Uzziah, of Jotham, of Ahaz, and Hezekiah, who were the kings of Judah. And there's three very, very simple things that I want you to note from this passage this evening. Three really simple things. Firstly, I want you to note that there is a problem. That there's a problem. You see, this chapter that we have read this evening, it describes something like a courtroom. And it is God Almighty who convenes this courtroom and he states the charges. God presents his case and he pronounces a nation as guilty. And this is the message that Isaiah was called to preach. Isaiah was called to preach about a coming judgment. God was coming to judge this nation. And Isaiah's message was preached for a very long time. We've already said it over the reign of four kings. A message that he preached for a very long time to people who weren't listening. People who had no concern. People who had no care for their soul. You know, this evening as I preach, I could just stand here. And I could just tickle your ears with what you want to hear from the Bible message. That would be very easy for me to do. You know, I could tell you that God loves you and he does. But I could just leave it there. But in doing that, I wouldn't be faithful to the whole message of the Bible. And it wouldn't be fair to you either, because you need to know where you stand before a holy God. And God calls me to present the whole gospel message to you. And over the next 20 minutes or so, I will share with you the truth and a message that can transform your life and save your soul. Isaiah, he wasn't called to please the people he preached to, no. He was called to be faithful to the Lord's message, which was this: judgment is coming, and you need to repent. Let me pause there tonight and challenge the Christian who listens in. Isaiah, he was called to be faithful to the Lord's message, to present all that the Lord had given him, to present the full scripture, to present what God's message was to these people. It wasn't an easy message. It wasn't easy to tell these people that judgment was coming, but Isaiah was faithful. I wonder, dear Christian, are you faithful in the workplace in your witness to tell others about Christ, to tell others of their need of him? I wonder, does it break you down into tears when you consider that there are many on their way to a lost eternity? Dear Christian, your role in the workplace is very important. Your role with your neighbors are very important. You know, that you may meet people that I may never have the opportunity to share the gospel with. So it's so important that each of us take our responsibility in gossiping the gospel to a world that is lost. But here was Isaiah, and he was proclaiming this message: judgment is coming, and you need to repent. And you know, that was the problem for God's people, the children of Israel. Judgment was coming, but they were ignoring the warnings that were coming from Isaiah. And here in 2021, this is the message that I must preach this evening too. The root of the problem was that the people, they didn't know God anymore. Verse 2, they rebelled against the Lord. Verse 3, the Lord says, they don't know me anymore. God says to the people through his prophet, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. What is the Lord saying? God is saying, an animal will obey its owner. I was out walking my dog this afternoon. It was enjoying the snow, and it sometimes would find its nose somewhere that smelt good, and she would get distracted. But when I called her name, she would come to me. She obeyed me as her owner. But God was saying this. God's saying, even an animal obeys its owner, but my people will not listen to me anymore. The Lord says in verse 4, you're a sinful nation. You're a people laden with iniquity. You're a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. You've forsaken the Lord. You've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. They're rebelling. They were sinful. And God says, I've created them. I created them to worship me alone, to serve me with joy. And yet they have turned away, says the Lord, and they have provoked me to anger. Now, the first problem that these people had was that they were a rebellious people. Animals had more devotion to their masters than the people had to God. And the people didn't appreciate what the Lord had done for them, and they took their blessings for granted. They had forsaken the Lord. They had no thought of the Lord. They had grown corrupt, and therefore they were deserving of judgment. Could we not apply this description to our own society today? Could we not even apply it to you, my dear unconverted friend listening in tonight? Maybe you're someone and you've experienced many blessings from the Lord. Maybe you're someone and you've been brought up in a Christian home. You've maybe a godly set of parents, a mom and dad who love the Lord, who pray for you every single day, that you'll give your life to the Lord. A mom and dad who love you and have taught you the scriptures from a young age, and maybe you're someone and you just have taken no interest and you have taken the blessings of the Lord for granted. Maybe you're someone who's even came along to this church building and you've sat in the pews and you've listened to many a faithful minister plead with you to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's been a blessing afforded to you by God Almighty, and still you haven't given your life to Him. Oh, dear friend, tonight the day may come that God's patience may weary and you'll find yourself in a lost eternity. Will you not come to Him and give your life to Him tonight? You know, the gospel message, it's good news, but in order for it to be good news, we must understand the bad news. The Bible teaches that before God, you and I are sinners. We fall so far short of His standards. We're not worthy to go to heaven. And on our own merits, we'll never be able to stand in heaven. We naturally rebel against God. The Bible says that we were shapen in iniquity, and in sin our mothers conceived us. We seek after things that bring pleasure from this world, and with no thought of where our soul is headed. And because of our rebellion, we're just as rebellious as the people in this passage. The Bible sounds forth the message loud and clear that you and I, we must be judged too. And if we don't change our ways, if we don't repent from our sin, we've offended a holy God. If we're set in our way, we'll be lost in eternity in hell forever. Now, don't switch off just because I've mentioned hell. Don't switch your camera off. Don't switch off. Dear friend, I was once a rebel too. And I was once on my way to hell too. But I can tell you tonight that I'm heaven bound. The Bible tells us that we will be judged for our sin. There's a punishment that awaits for sin. It's a serious problem, but we can address it tonight. But if you choose to ignore this message of the gospel, you'll be without excuse. Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Dear friend, your sin leaves you in serious danger. Just as a crime must be punished by our justice system, God must punish sin. The Bible tells us that what we deserve for our sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But you know, there was another great issue that these people had too. They actually were a bit like some of you who were listening. They were people who would turn up. In fact, it talks about it in the chapter here. It talks about how they were turning up to worship. It says here in the verse 13, God was talking about, bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me, because the people, they were turning up to worship God, but it was vain, it wasn't in their hearts, they were just going through the routine, they were just turning up to church, if you like, they got on with their religious habits, they were doing these tick box exercises, they were still bringing their sacrifices, but it meant nothing in their hearts. And it's really this tick box exercise that we can say, well, I went to church on Sunday. But in their hearts, they were sinners. And they were far from God. In their hearts and in their home life, they were far, far away from the Lord. You know, it's easy to turn up to this place every Lord's Day, looking your best, putting your shirt and tie on, putting your suit on, putting your Sunday best on. But in your heart, you could be far from the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus, He actually described the Pharisees in this way in the New Testament. They were the religious leaders. The Lord Jesus used words that Isaiah uses to describe the people. The Lord Jesus pointed to the Pharisees and He says, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Let me warn you this evening that you may be someone listening, and maybe you do faithfully turn up to this place every week. You will sit in the pew each week. You'll sing the hymns each week. You'll put your money in the collection box each week. But if you haven't got your life right with the Lord, that means nothing. You'll never stand in heaven. The Lord knows your heart, and He knows your motives. You see, in this passage, the Lord then directly addresses the problem. And that leads us on to our second point. There's the plea. We have the problem. These people were rebellious. They had rebelled against God. They were sinners, and that's our problem too. But then the Lord comes with a plea, and we read it in verse 18. It says this, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, in the build-up to this verse in the passage that we have read, this verse that we have read, in the build-up, there's a list of accusations from the Lord. And what the Lord is doing, he's pointing out to these people how far they have fallen from him. He shows the depth of their sin and the depth of their rebellion. And the Bible shows us, for you and I today in the 21st century, the Bible shows us the depth of our sin and the depth of our rebellion. We're filthy to the core. Our righteous acts, just the things that means that we try to do right, in comparison to a holy God, are as filthy rags. And you would think that when we consider this, you would think when we have offended such a holy God who is in the heavens, when you would think that when we think of how wonderful and majestic this God is, that he would just wipe out all of humanity. You think he would just take our breath away with one word. The Bible tells us that even the hearts of our political leaders are in the hands of God. It says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. But instead of God wiping us out, instead of him just wiping us out, as he rightly should do, he gives us an opportunity to repent and an opportunity to turn to him. And he pleads with you this evening, and he says to you, come. He says, come and let us reason together. You know, these words are some of the most beautiful words that you will find in Scripture. They're full of undeserved grace. They're full of compassion from my God. They're full of love and tenderness and patience. Instead of immediately being punished for your sin, you're shown mercy and you're shown kindness and you're shown grace. The Lord could have cast us off whenever he wanted. He could have thrown us into hell without a second thought. And he would have been right in doing so, because we deserve his wrath and curse. We deserve the fires of hell. We deserve his hatred and anger against sin. We deserve his punishment. But that's not what we're met with here. We aren't met with punishment. We're met with a plea. And the plea is come. And it's come now. It's a personal plea to you, a sinner in need of a Savior. Come. It's a plea and it reaches out to you. It's a plea that has been given to you. This plea, it doesn't come from Isaiah, no. It doesn't come from me, the preacher, either, no. It doesn't even come from the church. This is a personal plea that is issued to you from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he says to you, come. Come, come now. It's the Lord Jesus who pleads with you. He is the one that you have sinned against. But instead of punishing you, he went to the cross himself. He took the punishment that you and I deserved. He died the sinner's death. He died a criminal's death. But he's living today. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He defeated the devil. And that's why he pleads with you now, dear sinner. He says, come. See the Savior kneel to the cross for you. See them spit upon my Savior. And see them place a crown of thorns upon his brow. And you can see his blood flow. And you see that image in the cross with arms open wide, and he says to you tonight, come. I can save you from punishment. He says, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come, for all things are now ready. He was able to cry from that cross, it is finished. The work is complete. He had defeated sin and the punishment that he has borne for you. But you have to take this step of salvation. You need to take this step of faith. And you must come to him. And you must come now. It's an urgent plea. He says, let us reason together. He's not shouting at you. He wants you to listen this evening. He wants to reason with you this evening. The Lord Jesus Christ, he sends this plea to you, not a punishment. Just come and let us reason together. Oh, you must repent from your sin. You must turn from your sin before it's forever too late. That's why it's urgent. No man knows what a day may bring forth. You and I don't even know if we'll make it to the pillow this evening. But there's one thing we can be sure of. Right now, you can get your life right before the Lord. You can come to him. You know, later on in the book of Isaiah, we read these words in Isaiah 55. And it hits home the urgency of this message. He says this, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let me tell you, my friend, tonight, he is near tonight, because here's what he has promised. That each time this word is open, that he speaks. So I know that God is speaking to you right now because his word is being read. There was the problem. They were a rebellious people. We have a problem. We are also a rebellious people. We have sin. We're separated from God. We ought to be judged for our sin and cast into hell forever, but yet we're met with the most beautiful words. Come now and let us reason together. That's the plea. But then finally we find the promise. The promise. You know, here in verse 18, we find this promise that's given to you, my friend, tonight. And it's given to each one of us in unforgettable terms. You see, as the image of this verse, it gives us that image of a murder. Scarlet and crimson. These are red like blood. And this image that the verse gives, it's like the hands of a murderer covered in blood, so obviously guilty. It's a fitting description because the Bible tells us that our sin has brought death. And it is our sin that has left blood on our hands, on our own hands. If you were to stand before a judge tonight with blood in your hands, the judge would have enough evidence to condemn you and rightly punish you. And our hands, they are stained with scarlet and crimson blood. We deserve to go to hell, not because of anyone else's sin, but because of our own sin. Our disobedience and our rebellion, that's the problem. Then the plea, come, let's talk about this. Let's reason together. And then the promise follows, though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here's the message tonight. Your sin can be fully cleansed. That's the promise. Even though you're guilty, even though I am guilty, if we come to God and pray with genuine repentance of sin and turn away from our sinful rebellion that we love and put our trust in the work of the Lord Jesus that he accomplished at the cross at Calvary, then we will know the forgiveness of the Savior. That's the promise. He casts our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. And then God then looks on his son's righteousness or his son's rightness and forgives you, a guilty sinner. It's as simple as that. That's the gospel. But the question is, will you come? You know, I find it so hard at times to close off a gospel meeting because I know that there are people who tonight will turn their screen off and they'll think nothing more of this message. I don't know if I will ever get to speak to them again. I don't even know if they'll make it through the next week. And that's why this message is so urgent. My dear friend tonight, please, I plead with you, please don't turn your screen off without considering what the Lord has done for you. And without considering giving your life to Him. I don't know how anyone could get through this life without the Lord. Through the trials, He's a friend. When life gets tough, He's there for you. Through the good times, you have someone to praise and thank for what He blesses you with. You have fellowship with God as a Christian. You have some of the most wonderful blessings here in this life, but then you also have the knowledge that you have, that your soul is ready for eternity. And that one day that you'll be with Him forever in that new heaven and new earth. And there'll be no more sin, no more death, no more tears, no more sorrow. But it's only for those who prepare in this life. And He says to you, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your hands look as guilty as a murderer's, you can be white as snow. And though your sins may be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's the promise. A Savior who can turn a life around. I could bring so many people, thousands of people, millions of people, if not billions of people, to stand in this pulpit tonight and testify of what the Lord has done in their life. He changes lives completely. He gives the greatest joy that can ever be afforded upon the human soul. My friend, will you come to Him tonight and place your life in His hands? Let's come before Him now and let's pray as we draw to a close this evening. Father, we thank You for this wonderful gospel message. We thank You, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You that He has dealt with the problem of sin. We thank You, Father, that He took the punishment there at the cross at Calvary. And we thank You, Father, that there He hung for my sin and for the sin of the entire world. We thank You that Your word tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's an open invitation for all. And we thank You, Father, that each of us can be made right before a holy God. Father, You would have been it right to cast us straight into hell. But we thank You, God, for the mercy and grace and love and compassion that You have shown to each one. Father, if there is anybody listening tonight who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, oh God, I pray that even this hour, this minute, this second, they will bow the knee, repent of their sin, praise You for sending Your Son to die for them. And that, Father, they will know Your salvation this very night. Father, where Your word has been faithfully proclaimed, where men have been faithful to the blood in the book, we pray, O God, for the blessing of Your word across our province this evening. And we pray that there would be a great ingathering of souls into the kingdom of heaven this night. And Father, we pray this in the Savior's name. For each of us as we go out into a new week, Father, we pray for Your blessing. Father, we pray for Your undertaking. And Father, we pray that You would continue to be with each of Your children. We thank You that You are. And Father, we pray for each one, especially in this assembly who are laid aside at this time. And Father, we pray that You will be close with them, that You will wrap Your everlasting arms around them. And that, Father, this week they will know the presence of the living God very real with them each hour and each minute of every day. So, Father, we pray all these things, and we thank You for this, Your day, And we pray all this in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.